Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good evening, good day, good welcome, hola, and all this other languages. Wherever we are in the world, you are now listening to the Manchester United Redcast, and we, gentlemen, are back!
Hey!
And we do support the best team in the world, the greatest team on God's earth. And I ask you now to spread the word. Never has there been a better opportunity to hear about your team. The comings, the goings, the scores, who's saying what, the money behind the scenes. We've got it all covered for you here on the Manchester United Redcast. It's the dawning of a new era. It's a time of the year when all teams feel as though they can possibly win something, or perhaps, in Newcastle's case, avoid relegation. We'll talk about them in due time. My name's Edward Augustus Matthew Christopher Nesta. That's my full name. That's my full name and full title. With me tonight, two unlikely lads. First of all, Dave Collins, who spent the whole of last year talking about money. You're our chancellor, aren't you?
Chancer.
Yeah,
chancer. Good evening, good afternoon to everyone out there. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it is really fantastic to be back. Also with us is Dan Riley.
Hello, Eddie.
Saved your money up from last year, mate. We're going to see some games this year, mate.
I think I might manage to scrimp £5 for a month of Sky.
No, live. I want to go and see as many games as possible. If you're listening to this, however you're listening to us, make sure you get into us. Tell us what the big stories are on the agenda tonight. New signings: Paul Scholes, Berbatov, Glazers, 3-0 against Newcastle. Rooney away from Manchester United. We've got Bellamy going to Cardiff. Tottenham, tactically inept. Stoke, we'll talk about those. I don't know why we're talking about Stoke. They just came up, a bit random like that. The World Cup, Fabio Capello and David Beckham. Let's start, though, gentlemen, with the 3-0 victory over Newcastle. Predictable, but the one thing that hasn't been predictable has been the amazing performance, overshadowing the last 2 years, really, by what Mr. Giggs has been doing. But goodness gracious me, and you've seen it against Chelsea, we've seen it again against Newcastle. How good is Paul Scholes, and what would England have done with him at the World Cup?
Thank God they didn't have him, because he wouldn't have been as good as he was for us. I'm just glad he's just ours now. We can just play him, put him in a little box, keep him nice and, you know, precious, and then put him back out to destroy
ginger
teams.
Box. Yeah, I mean,
his little ginger box.
Already started already.
He hardly talks, does he? He's a man of very few words.
Yeah, well, that's good sometimes, isn't it? I think when he played under for England with Glenn Hoddle and Keegan, when as soon as Sven came, started playing him out of position to accommodate Gerrard and Lampard.
That's right.
And look what's happened
those,
now.
Those two world-class players.
World-class players. And then look what's happened now. You're talking, no one has players like the Spanish midfield. Well, we've got one sitting in Old Trafford, and he's spraying the balls around and playing exactly the way that we want to play. But no, just carry on playing those two in the midfield, and also he can go and beat someone up in like Southport as well.
I think I want to bring him in, Scholesy. I'll give him a call half an hour before I announce.
It's Mike Yarwood over there.
Yeah, whatever happened
to him?
He's back. Well done.
But what a ridiculous way of trying to bring back Paul Scholes half an hour before he announced his squad.
2 hours, and it wasn't even Capello that
did it.
He got Baldini saying, Scholes, he went, who's Baldini? I don't even know who he is. And he's ringing me up and asking me 2 hours before I'm supposed to go on holiday to my caravan in Wales.
How do you get my number?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, going back to the England thing, how long before they realise that perhaps playing, I mean, they're 30 and 31 now, maybe we've not got the message that those two playing together hasn't worked. It's interesting, isn't it? Paul Scholes moved out of position onto the left or wherever, and able to accommodate those, retired early in order to... If we'd built a team around him, maybe we'd be doing a lot better.
You know, Zidane has always said the best player he ever played against was Paul Scholes. And what the French team did and what most other teams did was build their teams around Zidane. We should have done that for him. But as hindsight, let's think about what he did last night
the
other night.
You know, to sort of draw a line under the England thing, I think you could have, you know, if Scholes was there, he would have just been another part of that debacle, really.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have even played.
He probably wouldn't have played him. He'd have brought him on 20 minutes to go, it would have just been a mess. But all I'll say is, having watched him the other day and watched him against Chelsea, I saw him against Chelsea and I thought, he's going in my fantasy team. He went in. The guy is just, when he's got the time and space, which he was, let's be fair, he was afforded it. And when we play the bigger teams, he's certainly going to have two other central midfielders around him to be able to give him that time and space. But in those tight games against big clubs where there's one or two chances each game, he's the man you want with the ball. Not Gibson, not for respects to him, Carrick, but I say this season, let Scholes have his big swan song, because I just think the guy is one of the greatest footballers I've ever had the pleasure to see.
We will talk a little more about the team, indeed the squad, because we didn't make that many signings, and certainly we didn't spend the kind of money that Man City have been spending, not even the kind of money that Arsenal or Chelsea spent. But let's talk, because we haven't had a chance to talk since the debacle that was the Football World Cup in South Africa. What was it now, with time to think about it? And I'll be interested, if you're listening at home, what your thoughts are. Was it as bad as we thought it was at the time?
Yes. I actually predicted. I was like Mystic Meg. I was like the octopus. I thought everyone was thinking that we're going to just roll over these teams. I thought we'd draw two games and maybe win one. I didn't think, you know, and we'd end up playing Germany and get knocked out. But it was just, I don't know, the excuse is that everyone's tired. I mean, there's still people, other players who have played as more games or just as much but didn't do it.
I think the problem is when you get something like England being as bad as that, everyone says, oh, it's either A, B or C, and it's not. It's a combination of different things. The manager made mistakes, the players weren't very good, and when you put all that together, It just all went wrong.
Do you really think we're just not good enough, Ed?
I've got a theory, and I'd really, as I say, what, as much feedback as possible from people. Yeah, we talk about the greatest team on earth, but also we have a view of the situation in whole, and we want the national team to do well. Here's my theory. Under Kevin Keegan, we were well on our way to failing to qualify. Yes? And then it was taken over, and then we did incredibly well. Under McLaren, we failed to qualify for the European Championships. Maybe, gentlemen, just maybe, we do well when we qualify.
Yeah, I think you got that. We were against with Capello, we were, but then who we were playing against in the qualifying groups are no good. It's like you could probably put anyone in charge of the England team in the Euros coming up, because we've got Wales, we've got this, that, and the other. They'd qualify, but wouldn't it go on?
But I would argue that I do agree, and I don't think England are as great as everyone makes them out to be, but I do think they should be competing, and they should have been better than they were. Slovenia, Algeria and the USA are not that much better teams than Croatia, Belarus, Ukraine.
Absolutely.
Although it was I think the qualifying group, and they've scored more goals than any other. It was a total.
Don't you think, though, Dan?
Red herring.
Like, the problem is Capello is so stubborn. He's not ready to change anything. We're playing 4-4-2.
He had no plan B. Now his plan A is fine if it's going right. When it was going wrong, he just didn't seem to have a clue.
Sven didn't have it either.
I nearly broke my telly when we were 3-1 down against Germany, and he bought one. Emil Heskey, I thought somebody's taking a piss.
Exactly.
Somebody's taking a fucking piss.
But to the last word I'll say on this as well is, I think that the the David James quotes were very interesting. He said that at half time, all the England players were going on about was, oh, it was a goal, it was a goal, it was a goal. And I think they just felt sorry for themselves a little bit. They should have just come out, forgotten about it, but they didn't.
Let's close this down, because I know we've got lots of people listening around the world who aren't necessarily as interested in the England team as we are. But just to tell you, highest paid international manager, $6 million, which I've worked out to be £120,000 a week, and he only has to pick two players. This is why. All fit, these nine are definitely in. Hart, Johnson, Terry, Ferdinand, Cole. Barry as his holding midfield player. Lampard, Gerry and Rooney. All fit, they definitely play. So we're paying him £120,000 a week to pick two players.
Not sure about Barry, to be honest.
He's holding midfield. He's played more games under him than anybody else. He likes him. After he got skinned in Germany, I wasn't so
But to
so
be honest,
happy.
The amount of money he's earning, if he was the CEO of a company, or you know, he was running a business like that and went into the ground, he would have been finished. It would be him and absolutely. The bloke from BP would be down the job centre, wouldn't they, really?
How well did we do against Newcastle? And aren't they favourites, or one of the favourites, certainly to be relegated this year?
I don't think that. I can't see them getting in trouble like that after seeing what happened to West Brom, who couldn't even defend. I was a bit worried, because two seasons ago our opening game was against Newcastle, wasn't it, and we ended up drawing the game.
That's right, yeah.
And I was worried for about 20, well, you know, I'm faith no more, it's only been one game and I'm already worried already. Oh no. But after 20 minutes thinking, how are we going to break them down, how are we going to, and then we kind of started knocking the ball around more and had more chances. They've got a big team. They've got some decent players. I can't see them being in too much trouble.
I think with when you think that Stuart Taylor wasn't playing the centre half, Dan Gosling wasn't playing. I don't think they looked. I mean they crumbled.
They didn't look
like a team that, you know, they've got St James's Park.
At the end of tonight, I'll be asking you which three teams you think will go down, and we'll put it in Mike's pocket, because that's the safest place for it. And at the end of the season, we'll have a look at it. Okay, but you know, these two games, both the charity game and a game against Newcastle, marked by the fact that the man who has turned missing into an art form in itself has scored goals. Is this the turning of a corner with Dimitar Berbatov?
God, let's hope so. I mean, it was a good finish the other night. We was already winning the game against Chelsea and he lobbed the goalkeeper. We'll see what happens.
Still a classy goal, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, but he's always been able to do that. I'm not too concerned about what he does at Old Trafford. I want to see what he can do when we're relying on him against Blackburn last year away, when we needed the points, and all he was doing was being miserable and moaning and walking around the pitch holding his cuffs in his hands. And that's what I want to see.
I think that with Berbatov, he's that player that you just want him to come good, because you know that if he really kicked on, he's easily the most skillful player in the squad.
There's no doubt about the guy's skill. He is a genius with the football.
Incredible talent.
I don't know what we're expecting of him. We just want more goals. Because Rooney at the moment is not firing, so you're expecting more from him.
I would be just to move this on, because I know we're kind of been bogged down in the England stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised actually if we see Berbatov starting up front
ahead of Rooney.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because Rooney needs a break, he just needs a rest. There's nothing, all this talk, oh, is he lost it, blah blah. No, he just needs to be taken out of the front line.
Munich away, isn't
just
he?
Let so. Him relax, just let him
say,
not worry about it.
He's playing like he's got something else on his mind. I mean, I don't know if it's a marriage, if it's the baby, but he plays to me like something else is going. The first touch is just not there.
When Rooney's out of form, his poor form lasts a long time, and then what happens is he'll score a goal, he'll kick back in, and it's just a cycle with him. And I think he just needs to be taken out of the front line a bit, so there's no pressure on him. Ferguson might think, oh, if I take him out, are people going to think I'm dropping him? I don't think so.
Dan, it didn't happen last year though, did it? He didn't have, you know, it's that cycle all the time when he doesn't score for 10 games, then he'll get a brace or more. Last he scored all those goals.
Everyone,
I think,
thought
from
it was...
when we lost against Bayern away and he got injured, and then he had the World Cup, was it too much on his shoulders?
That's right. It's an injury.
Yeah,
an injury usually precipitates that.
Exactly.
Loss of form.
So let's see what happens. I mean, there'll be two things, won't there? Ferguson will either keep him in the team, so he doesn't break his confidence even more, so he can score. Or for me, I would play Berbatov with the little P. Jacarito.
The little P. Let's see him start.
You like him?
Let's see him start.
Yeah. I mean, that goal. It's just so... we're going to be looking at that goal for years.
Face off.
Oh,
face
he off. Kicked the ball into his
exactly.
own face.
I mean, even Berbatov couldn't do that. But well, to be honest, there's more goals, wasn't there? The one he scored against Spain for Mexico, the ones he scored for United and against United in pre-season, and the one he scored great. In Ireland.
Do you know what I really like about this guy is that we haven't had a player for... well, I don't know if we've ever had a player as quick as him.
Well, he's the fastest. He's rated as the fastest player in the World Cup.
That player that you can just—he can just play off the back of the last defender. Now, I think sometimes last season we were containable up front. If you put someone on Rooney, if you put someone on Berbatov, we were containable.
They tend to drop deep, don't they? Both of them.
And with Hernandez being just that player that I can't, you know, he's just. As a defender, you look at him and think he's going to worry.
He's the nearest that I've seen in the United team since Solskjaer.
Well, that's what Ferguson said and Paul Scholes said.
Faster
finishing,
than Solskjaer.
Finishing in the, like as a finisher, as a striker, no, they haven't seen anything like it. I just pray, Ed, that please don't end up like Forlan. Please don't not wait well, and wait and wait and wait for a goal and it ends up not happening.
Forlan hasn't turned out too bad internationally. Yeah, he didn't do it for Man United.
Yeah, I'm talking
but he's
about
quality
exactly.
striker, wasn't he?
I think the fact that, I mean, it's only the Community Shield, but I think the fact that he scored in that game has already relaxed him a yeah. bit. He's scored for Man United. There's no pressure. He's even scored against us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. In the pre-season.
You know, how is it that we appear to be much stronger without spending that much in the transfer market? I just look at the squad in the terms of the strikers, in terms of who's out on loan. We lost all our... that's why we lost the game. I know our next game's against Fulham, and last year we lost against them, basically, because I think we had Fletcher and Carrick playing centre-half. What does the squad seem much stronger to you? Because it does to me.
Well, I think we went from a you know, strikers being Berbatov, Rooney, Owen, a little bit, you know, Makeda, you could say as a fourth. With Hernandez in there now, it just with that added striker in,
and Diouf,
it just
yeah,
makes
he's gone alone.
Yeah. But it just makes it that more competitive to have that other player come in. I mean, let's face it, Hernandez was an unknown. Yeah. He goes to we bought him 7 million. He goes to the World Cup. He's amazing. If we'd not bought him, he'd have been 20 million. Definitely. So you know, it was a great bit of business. I mean, not that we're really worried about the club saving money.
Let's see what happens, because we don't have the money. We talked about it a lot last year. The money from Ronaldo, we still haven't seen it. But you know, if that's his new policy to try to find young players and get them for small amounts of money, like we've got, he bought this guy Bebo that he's never even seen him kick a football, which is unheard of for Ferguson to do that. So
picked him up off a park bench.
Exactly,
apparently.
Yeah. When he was having a pint of Tennent's, he was sitting next to him. He said, "I'll play football when you're in, son." But yeah, that's if he's going to do that, then that's great, because the game in this country, the transfers are so inflated because of what's going on. Like, you've got someone rubbish like James Milner that's costing millions, 20 million or whatever, plus a player, but then Mesut Ozil goes to Real Madrid for 12.5 million.
Well, I know. I mean, there was a lot of talk, United in for Ozil. Ferguson went to see him, no doubt about it. He definitely went to see him, and I think the decision was made, the squad is ugly enough. the ugly quota. I mean,
full up.
Fletcher, Vidic, Rooney. I mean, Berbatov, the only reason he's in is because he's got that Andy Garcia quality.
Yes.
Giggs offers the Clooney, you know.
Yeah, he's got that bit, and now he's done his hair. He's done his little transplant.
I mean,
are we allowed to speculate?
Housewife's favourite.
Just randomly, talking about housewives, are we allowed to... There is a super injunction. One player has been so devious in his sexual activity that he has gone to the courts to prevent them from talking about it.
Hang on, Eddie. I think I can see a lawyer furiously waving some paper.
Come on, be honest. We've all wondered who it is. You got any? Got any?
I'm quite happy with
someone
my
in
house.
The Premiership.
I don't want it repossessed by an
international player. I'm getting closer. now your turn.
An international player.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
I think he might be a Scouser. That's all I'm saying. I think he likes to go out in Southport and get involved in playing CDs.
Right. Let's leave it there. So in terms of that's not true apparently. In terms of the Glazers then and money, Ferguson has come out and said, "Come on, don't let this divide a club." But see, you still see lots of yellow and green, don't you? That's there to stay, isn't it?
Green and gold.
Green and gold. So
green and gold with people wearing green and gold scarves. And a replica top. Don't quite get the. I think they're slightly confused there. You know, if you're going, if
well,
you don't
I bought,
want,
I bought the top before, for goodness sake.
But if you don't want the club getting, you know, if you don't want the Glazers in there, then don't give them the money. I think a lot of people are wearing green and gold purely out of a bit of a fashion accessory.
We know it's not going to work. There's no way this club are looking that like the Glazers are going anywhere for the time being. It doesn't matter what. The only person that I know is making money at this club at the moment is the bloke who's making those green and gold scarves
and the green and gold sombreros.
Well, that's it. They're going to be massive, aren't they? Everybody's going to be wearing those. He scores 20 goals this season. And what happens to Michael Owen now then?
Well, he's fit. I'm surprised he didn't even get on the bench the other night. That was a shocker. I mean, I still think he's a goal scorer, but he was never going to play every week. But to not even get on the bench ahead of Makeda is a bit of a shocker.
But that's what I'm liking about it now. Now it's not who have we got? You know, it's Makeda's got to come in. There's now less pressure in a way on Makeda. It's more or it's a better pressure. It's a pressure of go on, get in and take your chance. Because you know what, you might oust Owen. Yeah. Not Owen's the third choice now. Hernandez. Yeah. I mean, it's
well, at least we've got the options.
Better.
We've got
the options are looking better, and hopefully, as we were saying with Berbatov, with his just he looks happier. That's what I mean. It sounds a bit of an old cliche, but he does look better.
I'd be happier to give Rooney a rest at the moment.
Yeah.
He just looks like he's knackered. To me, and that's strange.
Well, I've got a baby, and I'm, you know,
same
you can
as
see
this.
From my form.
Kai.
Yeah, absolutely, you can see from my form that I am. I do have the body of an athlete, and I can tell.
In
you
that
bit,
jumper, I must say, tiring. Everyone listen. If you had, if you could see this,
Aquamarine.
Eddie looks like he's going to play a round at Wentworth. Well, I don't think you'd probably get in the clubhouse at Wentworth, would you? To be honest, but
because of the colour.
Of the jumper, yeah.
There you go. Well done. Boom, boom. Rio's there. I set it up.
Little bit of politics.
Did you have it there?
Little bit of politics.
Is Rio out? Is he finished?
I really don't know. But thank God we got Johnny Evans. Because
he's looking good, isn't he, in a moment?
I've always liked the look of this guy. He just looks solid. And centre-halves usually don't look proper good till they're 26. He's 22, Johnny Evans. That's what you've got to remember.
Great competition there. Cover. I mean, that's
Smalling as well.
Yeah, we've got Smalling. I mean, that's the part where we really kind of let ourselves down last year. I suppose up front, midfield we're covered, aren't we? Up front and in the centre at the heart of our defence. You know, Evra played I don't know how many games last year. I don't expect him to play that many. Competition looks like it's on the other side.
Yeah, we're looking
But you've got O'Shea coming back as a utility.
He won't be playing many internationals,
well,
though, Paddy.
Five. He got a 5-game. What's the point in banning Anelka for 18?
Fantastic. An 18-match ban.
And it's his career.
I love it.
He's already said, I don't want to play for him again. Yeah. I know you don't want to play for us again, but we're banning you for 18 games.
Fantastic. So childish, isn't it? Just the whole thing.
Ribery got three matches. But that's probably
really,
the least of his worries.
I thought he was up for 2 years.
3 years, I think it might be.
Oh, that's something different, is it?
Possibly. Look, I can see the lawyer again, Eddie.
Yeah. You're a coward, man. Grow some balls. So, Rio is the big worry, though, in terms of looking at that squad. Of course, we've got the never-ending one with the Canadian. But here we go now. With those two, one being our holding midfielder, one being, I suppose, the captain of the country, worries there, but the squad big enough to accommodate those problems?
The only thing I'd say is I do worry about central midfield, and I have a bit of stop press. Raul Mariles, who we bid for last week.
God, I thought that's the bloke who got shot. I loved them. God.
No, not the Geordie, but
God
the Portuguese holding midfielder has been left out of the Porto squad.
Oh, well
tonight
done.
For the Europa Cup. Now, apparently, this is a guy we bid for a week ago, and the bid got turned down. So maybe Hargreaves is a definite non-starter for this season, and they're thinking they've got to replace him, because Fletcher, fantastic, love him. Scholes, fantastic, but can't play, you know, can't be categorised as a player that's going to be there all season. Gibson, I think jury's still out a bit, but okay. So Carrick is our only other proper central midfielder. So I think we do need another central midfielder if Hargreaves is finished.
The great thing about Carrick, though, is he does feel as though he has something to prove this year.
Had I love Carrick.
A mediocre season for Man United and didn't get on the pitch for England. So I think he's hurting just a little
bit. Interesting, isn't it? After the Fergie's pre-post match, after the interview he did the other day, he said they asked him, any more players you want to sign? And normally he'd say no. He said there's still two more weeks left. And that's quite, you know, normally he would say yes or no. So you never know.
But I think now, there's no point in believing what they say, because they don't want anyone to know who they might be thinking about getting, because
of the prices. Right.
And because of, let's face it, Manchester City. We know what happened with Berbatov two seasons ago. They got wind of it. They put in a late bid, if you remember. Berbatov refused to actually talk to them and defied Spurs, went and met Ferguson because he wanted to play for United, and we got him.
And the rest is history. Talking about Man City, it's a nice link, actually. They are so rich, they are prepared to pay nigh on £50,000 to £55,000 a week for the little limp to go to Cardiff.
How rich have you got to be? I'm sure staggered by that. I'm sure it wasn't an imp I heard him being called the other day.
I know what I'd like to...
I'm just really happy that I don't have to see that man playing in the Premiership again.
Runt. How about that?
I just can't stand it. And he won't last 2 minutes there, because as soon as something happens in the change room and the manager wants to say something to him and he starts kicking off, it'd be all over.
The funniest thing for me was him coming out and saying, I'm just glad to be playing for the club I supported as a kid. Craig, we have this thing called the internet, and when you did a press conference 4 years ago and you said when you signed for Liverpool that was your boyhood club, it kind of gets kept so we can read that. So you've obviously had two boyhood clubs.
It's where his family
but he is a bit there. Of a Well,
His family are from there.
Yeah, but it's not like he's having to travel to LA Galaxy to play. It's just like a couple of hours up the
motorway. What's interesting is he turned down. McLaren tried to get him for Wolfsburg. He could have, I mean, that's Champions League football. He could have gone there. That would have been an interesting move.
I just don't get it. If they think he's that good, it's a bit like how we were with Heinze. If you think he's that, you don't want him, and you think he's that good, that you're not going to sell him to any of your opposition.
It's that
take
old
the money.
Thing. Well, I mean, for me, I'm really, really amazed they're selling him. I can't stand him.
Yeah, but he's a great player.
He is that sort of player that when they go away, and it's November and it's pissing down with rain, and you want someone on that left.
You don't
want to
play
really.
You've seen what he did against
Silva.
You see what he did against
David Silva.
Year.
I want to know what's going to happen to Shea Given, because I can't imagine him sitting on the bench.
No, he's going
to
go.
He's going to go at Fulham.
But the manager said he won't stand in his way. I imagine Schwarzer will go to Arsenal. He'll go to Fulham.
Man City, I'm amazed at what they're doing to that team. They seem to be taking out the players that are actually the ones you should be leaving in, and then sort of putting some glamour players on top of that.
It's not going to work there.
David Silva.
Why is it not going to work? It worked at Chelsea.
Yeah, but I just don't.
But at Chelsea, Eddie, they already had Terry, Lampard. They had a structure, a spine, if you like, of good English players. Or just good players.
They just seem to be buying random players at City.
How many holding midfielders do you need?
How many of them are any that great of top players? Yeah. They're not. They can't get the top players.
I don't know. If you're listening to this,
City are a massive club.
If you're listening to this podcast, anywhere you are, I think you can hear a little bit of edge coming into it. Are we scared? Should we be scared?
No.
Is the tide about to turn Man City? Is it? I mean, most people are predicting
Thursday nights, ITV4.
Okay, well. We'll see. Yeah. I like the confidence. So we talked about Evra, we talked about Rooney, we've talked about Bellamy. Tottenham a little bit, I suppose, tactically inept. Nobody plays 4-4-2. Certainly not away from home in Europe. They'll learn, won't they? Only England. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
And Favia.
Okay, I think we've talked enough about other clubs.
Yes.
Let's talk about Manchester United. Next game. We lost this game last year, mate.
I went to it, actually, and it was a game where we had the late Fletcher and
Carrick
on at centre half. We got torn apart.
Make your prediction, sir.
3-1
to Manchester United.
Yes.
Against Fulham.
Yes.
With Sparky.
Yes.
2-0 United. I'm holding out for us to have a clean sheet again.
Another clean sheet.
Yeah, I'm
sort of followed by a clean sheet against the Hammers.
That's what I'm looking for this year.
Unbeaten.
Some more clean sheets.
Unbeaten, Dave. Can we go unbeaten?
Yeah, look at you. You're stop making me nervous. I'm trying.
We've only played one game. We're predicting that we're going to go undefeated.
Stop making me nervous already.
Looks like Berbatov scored the important goal against Newcastle. It's the first goal. What happened to the art of nearly scoring? Do you think he's changed? Well, we kind of answered that. No, I think is the answer. Alex, but thank you very much for your mail. Make sure you send us another one. Hi, guys. I contacted you last year to talk about Matar. He's the man of the moment, yeah. Isn't he? You were all for selling him. My argument was we would not see the best in him until he played in a 4-4-2 formation. 2 games into the season and he already looks revitalised. He seems sharper, hungrier and deadlier than we've seen him in a United shirt. He also seems to link well with the this is the nickname. I don't know how he's allowed Mr. Hernandez to have that nickname on there. Chicharito, which bodes well should Rooney miss any time. I think he is not fit. Well, we agree with you.
And he's got other things on his mind.
Yeah. I am genuinely excited by the chances of the title this season. My attention's just been drawn to something else. With our attacking option available, deeply revealed, Berber is still not at Old Trafford. What are your thoughts on our chances? Will we win the Premiership this year before we talk about my piece of paper?
I'm going to say yes, because last year I said Chelsea will win. I'm going to say us this year. I really do feel it. I mean, we played Chelsea. I know they won 6-0, but I think we've added a few additions. We're looking a bit fresher. I think we might be losing a striker soon, but I really feel that we've got a real chance this year.
I'm surprised actually that Chelsea haven't strengthened a little bit more, because Lampard 32, Drogba 32, they are a little bit of an ageing team. But
Fergie said that last year.
I think it'll be us two again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think pushing for third could be Arsenal, but they look to me like they just want to walk it in. Still,
yeah, I think it's top four again for me. I think it's United, Chelsea, Arsenal, or maybe Liverpool, Arsenal. We lost 8 games last year, but still we lost the league by 1 point. That says a lot to me. So I think if we can just shore up at the back, don't have those defensive frailties, then I think we've got a chance. We've got 2 weeks left. We might need another striker though.
Yeah. And just to tell you that the breaking news, such as we have it, I can't give you any kind of sources, but the idea of the super injunction being a scouser may be closer than you think.
Yes.
Well be a lot closer than you think. Listen, let me give you some of the details, because we look forward to hearing from you, and it works if we hear
Same
from
that.
You.
Rooney!
In fact, I wasn't here. Who am I? Did I say my name was Eddie? This is Paul Tonkinson on the Manchester United Red Cars. Now, look, as I say, upcoming games, Fulham in West Ham. We're predicting a victory against Fulham. You can join our Facebook group, please do. Follow us on Twitter by going to unitedredcast.com. And if you're a Facebook user, check out the Love It or Hate It app, where you can vote for your favourite team. And Manchester United is the second most hated Premiership.
Let's get it to number one. Come on, everyone. If you're a red out there, get it to
number one. Who are we second to?
Oh, it's got to be Chelsea.
Well
done.
Hopefully Man City don't get anywhere near the top of that league either. We'll put a link on our Facebook group to search for Love It or Hate It. And you can get your iPhone out. I got myself an iPhone, gentlemen.
Just
so that I could get this app. I mean,
well, you'd have to learn to use it now, won't you?
Yeah. But that'll come. That'll come, mate. Hey, one thing at a time. The app is now free. You can get this podcast, get the latest news live to your phone. You can go to bit.ly/manuapp, and that's MANUAPP. That's bit.ly/manuapp. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Nice to be back. Good to see you.
Enjoy the golf tonight, Ed, if you get in.
Surprised you're still alive, mate, but happy to see you still here. It's the greatest team on earth. We're here to tell you good luck again, Fulham. Spread the word. We're here each and every week supporting God's greatest team. This was the Manchester United Redcast.
Hey!
Rooney.
We did I say to you he's playing like he's got some?
I didn't know. I swear to God. Yeah.
He's no, come on, because I know you're a striper. Oh. You're a blagger. Is that true?
I asked, and that's the first thing I thought.
This is a Playback Media production. To listen to all our football podcasts, visit playbackmedia.co.uk. If you would like to sponsor or advertise on this show, give our marketing partners at Sports Revolution a call on 0207 580 2580 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.